Mike Lewis for the sack.
And Bill.
Mike and Bill. Mike, go ahead.
Okay, I was just touching base to find out if we still had the repeaters in Huntsville and Livingston to reach out. And also if we're going to need to get a generator for the building since the hurricane season's coming up, and also the old electrical box that possibly needed to be fixed behind KPFT.
Well, I can tell you that Huntsville is still on. Goodrich is not. Goodrich hasn't been on now in almost a year and a half. So we surrendered the license to it. We couldn't keep apparently a good enough internet signal to keep that translator on. And Galveston is on its way coming back up. So two out of three, the two most powerful ones that we have are coming back up. I was to understand we used to have generators, and apparently they did a disappearing act. So I am trying to look at ways to get new ones. What I would really like to do is I'd really like to try to find a grant to do that. The other thing that I'm looking at as a plan B, if for some reason we do not stay at our current location and we do have to move to a new building, I am going to try to find a building that already has one incorporated into the electrical system. That way it's on the roof. Nobody can get to it. And if they want to try to take it down, they'll have to be Superman or Superwoman to try to get it down off the roof. So, but yes, I've been trying to get grant information on how to get a generator that would be big enough to do what we needed to do. Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome, my friend.
Bill.
Thank you. Well, thank you, David, for all that work. I mean, I'm really impressed with all the improvements in the signal quality that you've been doing at the transmitter, and the website looks so much better, and there's so many other things too. So thank you. Just a simple request. Can you email us the, that report that you gave us, the slides?
I knew you were going to ask for that. I'm going to have to actually put it up on our Gmail drive, and send a link to it because it's enormous.
Or on the website, if that's possible, that would be great.
If it will accept a file that big, yes, I can
help you with that if you want. So
awesome.
There's file sharing services that can take it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Cause we're at 8:03. Wendy, we at 8:03. So.
Okay. This will be real quick. On David, I noticed that in my car that our station was saying that we're Houston's community station. And so that's really cool. Thank you very much for that donation. But I'm wondering now, how much does an apostrophe cost?
I will tell you that I noticed that. I did notice that. And that's just a simple, Dave was in a really big hurry because we were trying to get five things done while our master engineer from Pacifica was here. His name is Mo Thomas, and he is currently filling in as IGM for KPFK. He actually comes from, out in DC. He had came to town, spent a week and a half, and we got more accomplished in the week and a half than I could have ever possibly imagined. So yes, the apostrophe is on the list. And when I go to put back in, our audio processor, I will make sure that we put the apostrophe in there.
I thought you were going to say it doesn't allow special characters. That would have been a good answer too.
No, it was totally my bad.
And then one more thing, Nisi. David, I've been listening to the station a lot more than I had been in recent history. And, I've heard a lot of the same shows, several times in very short time.
Yes.
Is there any kind of communication to programmers about submitting reruns and things that reference program, premiums that we don't have, concerts that are tonight, stuff that just makes us frankly look like we are incompetent.
And to answer that very simply, I absolutely know where you're coming from, and I know the shows that's causing it. And it's because there are no new shows of that. And until I can make changes to the current lineup, we're going to have that problem. And unfortunately, I don't get to pick the program, and I don't get to pick what version of the program that gets aired. I just have to do like you do and kind of listen to see what happens. But for the folks that are still creating new content, those are getting on there. But we have about 15 hours a week between Monday through Friday that we are running repeat after repeat after repeat.
Yeah, but it's not okay. I mean,
I understand.
How do you expect people to listen to us?
I absolutely understand that. And I'm trying to figure out a way to cover 15 hours of programming.
I mean, we're always in pledge drive. This is another thing I'd like to ask about.
I agree. We are. And that's not good. It's not good because it doesn't give our listeners the break.
I mean, is it not an option to, if somebody doesn't have a new show and they have a show that's making us look stupid, that we could preempt it for the week and put on something else? I mean,
well, let me ask you.
I know that's more labor intensive.
No, it's not really labor intensive. That I don't think that's the problem. I want you guys to understand something. Okay, a lot of people have put work as their number one choice for everything. Okay. And it's because he's been with the station for so long. However, he is no longer producing programs for us. So if we remove Wide Open Spaces, we're going to get backlash in a big way. And for right now, until we at least get through this next pledge drive, I don't want to make that big of a removal and tank our chances of getting any money. Now, that's not to say that down the road, I think he said he would volunteer for a day a week now because now he's back to work. But I don't think that at this point we're going to get him back for 5 days a week. So eventually we will have to change the programming around. But I don't have enough new stuff and enough live. I can't get somebody in there live right now. So it's a balancing act. So I just have to do the correct path that we're going to need to not lose where we're currently standing. But eventually, yes, absolutely, Wendy, we're going to have to make some changes.
Okay, you guys, it's 8:09. So we're 9 minutes into public comment, and I am going to extend that to 8:40. If we finish public comments before 8:40, I'll come back to David. So, Paul, do you see anybody?
Of course, we have Captain Tom here, and also we have Cab here.
Cab is on the agenda.
She's not on, okay.
Cab is on the agenda.
Okay.
So, Captain Tom.
Madam Chair, first I'd like to extend my condolences on your loss.
And
also, I will yield my time for 10 minutes to PK. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. PK.
All right, I got to learn how to unmute. I try and stay muted so that you all don't hear me rolling my eyes and sighing heavily. I just want us to take a moment to think about the recent killing of a young black person, Dorothy Wright.
Dante.
I'm looking at it, trying to see how it's spelled. Dante Wright. And the fact that as a mother and my grandson will be 17, is starting to drive, I am scared to death. And, you know, this is not an insult towards anybody. It's just the truth. The truth is that structural racism has, I even hate the word marginalizing because it's hard to marginalize a 6'3" black woman, but you know what I mean. Not being heard, being dismissed, feeling like we can't get to a place where color won't matter, but right now it does. We have communities of color that in 2017 and before then in 2010 were rallying around KPFT. They're gone. It is one of the reasons that I'm so committed to the KPFT Community Advisory Board, because you have to get the voices of people to increase membership as well as to increase volunteerism. People have to know that they are important. Dante Wright was a valuable human being. And we might say, well, we're not killing anybody, but we're still creating systems that dismiss the fact that the issues of police brutality, unfair criminal justice system, that they can't be represented just by white faces and white voices. And I'm talking about the fact that I would like to urge the LSB, even though they're trying to get rid of that, somebody's trying to marginalize that portion of it. It's about control. But I would really like for us to think about what it would look like to have an anti-racist platform as part of our PSAs, as part of our commitment to those communities. That's what V was asking. And it seems like when a person of color asks that we are being whiny. Maybe that's the best word to use for right now. But today I heard a set of words that I was surprised even could be put together. And it's called diversity fatigue. The people are tired about hearing about diversity and inclusiveness. You know, this is America. We're a melting pot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we are not, folks. We are not. And I just want to urge you to look into your heart and your thinking and check yourself as it relates to why we are in trouble. It is not about factionalism. That's just a thing to distract us from the fact that this is a people thing. And, you know, Tom, I just always am grateful to the conversations that you and I had when I first got on the board. And I am grateful for your respect, and I'm returning it tenfold, because if we keep saying it, maybe we'll start hearing it. And I just thank you for the opportunity to share this message. I've been angry. I've been frustrated. But right now, I am hurt. I am hurt because this cannot go on. Voter suppression is going on. We need progressive radio. We need the voices of people who can address this and deal with it. There's a group called CASH, the Coalition for Abolishing Slavery. I know there are a lot of you who think, well, slavery was abolished in 1865, but the criminal justice system is just another form of it. People of color have a reason. BIPOC people have a reason to fear more than ever before. The insurrection that happened on January 6th was no joke to us. And the increase in shootings, gun control should be talked about it. Fair trade should be talked about it. Now, I'm revamping the Community Advisory Board website, and we'll be working with David Bays to make it a part of the KPFT website. And I am grateful for the new branding, even though I really wished that it had been, hit more pockets like the university, Texas Southern University's University Museum, like the High School for the Performing and Visual Arts, like Jack Yates, that we had gotten a plethora of diverse communities, because that's what Houston is. It's a community of communities. So let's not dismiss it, please. Let's be more intentional, please. And let's not get so upset when you're called out on it, because that just means you need to have a conversation that works rather than being defensive. So I thank you for this opportunity. I hope to give you a better report from the Community Advisory Board and what they want to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody?
I don't see anyone else. I don't see any hands raised. Oh, well, I see our GM hand is actually raised.
Okay. First, let me make sure it's nobody else.
Yeah, I don't see anyone else hands.
Is there anybody else?
Oh, that Captain wants Tom. To speak?
Yeah, go ahead. Captain Tom, can he speak?
Yes, Captain Tom.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
PK, thank you. And you always have been, I have had utmost respect for you, and thank you very much for what you have said.
Hello.
Okay, Susie.
Yes, I was trying to get in. I just couldn't get in.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, you just saying hi?
Huh?
You have something to say? Oh, no, you were just saying hi.
No, I'm just saying I'm here. I'm here.
Okay, got it. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. I couldn't get in.
Okay. Yeah. You missed my little speech on that, but I'll tell it to you one-on-one.
All right.
Okay. Anybody else? All right, David.
Yes, ma'am. I was just going to let everybody know, if you have a group organization that you would like to get as a public service announcement on the air, have them reach out to me directly, and I can take a recorder to them, and we can make those new promos. These are the things I've been wanting to do. And since you guys and gals are more, in touch with some of the places that maybe I haven't even known about yet, get them to me, and I promise you, we will start getting these public service announcements changed out. We definitely, I love what has happened today. I'm hearing and I'm seeing people reaching outside of our building and outside of this meeting. Thank you. Our people that are out there listening are our most important people we need to have. And also, I forgot in my report, Abe Kumar has been helping me so much on the back end trying to fix a lot of the website issues, and I forgot him in my report. And so I don't want to ever forget anybody. So, but if you have ideas for public service announcements, give me contact information and I will track it down. I promise you that.
Nancy with a question.
Madam Chair, may I just add one thing? I sent you a proposal, David. Could you call me? Because I do have that list now, and we've been working on it.
Wonderful. Perfect.
Madam Chair, are we done with public comment? I was going to continue my
public comment. We have finished with public comment. We will finish with public comment before David started talking. We have.
All right, Madam Chair. Go ahead. Thank you.
We have 10 more minutes. That's why I'm letting you guys ask the questions, because you asked the questions of the general manager. That's who knows what's going on. And let me just say this. You guys have to remember something. David is brand new to the city of Houston. So the things that you want him to know, my suggestion is email him, text him. Like he just said, He does not know. He's not trying to overlook a group or an entity. He does not know. He's brand new to the city. He's been here since January 15th. Remember that.
Chair, this is Lyndon. May I have the floor?
Nancy with a question.
Well, Nancy was first, Lyndon, and then you can talk, okay? Okay, Nancy, go ahead.
Yes, David, when we asked these nonprofits, are you aware that Robin had a list of over 70 nonprofits, and we invited them to a lunch and a lecture. And this was many years ago. But can we ask these, if you want us to reach out to these groups, and I have already, and can we suggest that they prepare their own little script, about 50 seconds, 50 seconds, and so something for them to do, get done.
Well, my suggestion would be, we do things right now, as the way programming sits right now, we do things in 1 minute increments. What I would prefer to do, because there are so many voices out there that need to be heard, I would limit them down to 30-second scripts that we can look at and make sure that it's all FCC approved for nonprofit. And then what I can do is I can put two of them in a 1 minute block, and we can get a lot more out there than what we are currently. So if we could limit the scripts to 30 seconds, that would be great.
Oh, I think that's too short. We've never done that before.
But that's the way
it's
the world.
It's a new world. It's a new world.
It's a new world. 60 seconds is too long. They lose their attention span. Just to watch the TV. Just
Lyndon for the sack.
Okay, go ahead, Lyndon.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think Captain Tom wanted his chance to make his remarks. I may be mistaken, but I thought I heard him say that.
Tom, you have something else to say?
Yes, ma'am. There's a lot of things going on outside the LSB that I don't approve of. And that's, you know, emailing somebody or texting somebody on the phone and making racist comments. This has got to stop. And as you pointed out, Madam Chair, earlier, attacking everybody before a meeting, LSB meeting, is uncalled for. It's got to stop. The racism, the race card comes out every time I turn around and attend one of these meetings. You know, we all bleed red. That's all there is to it. We're all human. We all make mistakes, but, you know, we all have a right to say things that we want to say. The First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. But I'm just pointing out one thing. We all need to get along. We all need to be a team. And I have been preaching this and preaching this for years since I have been with KPFT. And I would like to see it stop. I mean, that's it. You know, that's all that needs to be done. Nisi, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Tom. Anybody else? This is a rarity. We got 6 minutes left.
Richard.
Public comment?
Huh?
A public comment?
It's 6 minutes left. Go ahead, Richard.
Are we talking to the GM?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to find out if there's still time for public comment.
Yes, it is.
Even if you don't live in Houston.
Thank you.
Richard.
Public is public.
That's right. I said, even
Tom,
if you don't live in Houston.
Please, Richard.
No, I'm glad, you know.
You don't have the floor. I'm sorry.
I did too.
Come on, Richard. Okay. Richard, go ahead and speak, please.
No, I think we ought to let the people from Allentown talk.
Okay. I don't know whether they're out of town or not. Neither does Paula.
Madam Chair, we have a public comment.
The CPB and the FCC say members of the public. There is actually no residency requirement, but I am a member of KPFT, so I will take this opportunity. I will take this opportunity to say that I learned that that Brother Cliff had passed, and I spent a lot of Sunday nights listening to him, and I hope that he's acknowledged, you know, on the website or in some way or some sort of acknowledgement of his presence and his time and his contributions to KPFT. The other thing I'd like to say is that the New Day Pacifica proposed bylaws desecrate the word democracy in many different ways. They plan a series of winner-take-all elections that guarantees that the people who usually win those kinds of elections will win these kinds of elections. And as someone who learned much about the world and politics from people like Samori Marksman and Alambe Brath and the scholars and experts.
Please mute your phone. How rude. Please mute your phone if you are not speaking.
Thank you. That's much more reflection on the person behaving that way than anyone else. But, you know, as someone who, as I said, learned much about the world, and politics and society from people like Alambe Brath and Samori Marksman, world-class scholars, I will be damned if I let these people destroy this network and take it away from the people who have been working to preserve it. So please, folks, vote no. And, you know, ask questions. Ask why the people who are now telling us they know how to save us, but they don't actually talk to us and tell us what the plan is. These are people, for the most part, who've been involved in Pacifica for years, who have been part of governing majorities locally at their stations and nationally within the network. And all of a sudden, we are to believe that after their miserable failure last year, that they have now gained extra wisdom that will help deliver the network. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the lies. Vote no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have 8:29. Let me just say something about the comment you made about Cliff. The general manager is working on that. Board members have sent him different things about Cliff because, of course, he's brand new. He doesn't know anything about Cliff.
And so we did already post it on the Facebook page, and it is on the Facebook page on our website as well.
Okay, thank you, David, because I knew you were working on it. So it's on the Facebook page, right, David?
Correct. And now our Facebook page is also under social media at kpft.org.
Okay, social media. Social media at KPFT.
Yeah, if you go to our KPFT page, you'll see now that there is something that's marked Facebook and Twitter, and whatever is on there, if you don't have a Facebook account, you can still now follow us on Twitter and Facebook live through our...
Okay, thank you. Did everybody get that? Okay, all right, it's now 8:30. PNB, and I know I forgot the minutes, but I'll do them at the end of the meeting. Okay, PNB, Sandra.
Richard, real quick before you get to that, Madam Chair.
Okay, Sandra, go ahead, Richard.
I'm here, but I'm waiting my turn.
Richard, hurry up.
Okay, that wasn't me coughing a while ago. I just wanted to thank the GM, David, for all his good work, and it's nice to have a professional on board. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. All right, Sam, lead us the way, PMB.
Okay, on the PMB, there's a lot going on. I chair the personnel committee. We sent a motion to the finance committee of the Pacifica National Board to find out whether or not there was money in the coffers to pursue hiring a permanent executive director. They've knocked it around with the NIDA people, and we've been told that there is money in the budget, providing that everybody pays their central services. So there's a little bit going on there, but not a lot. Strategic planning has come up with numerous out-of-the-box ideas as to how to help raise money for funds. And I think Lyndon can probably speak more astutely to that. We're having an emergency meeting. Well, it's a special meeting tomorrow night in which we're going to, discuss the New Day Pacifica bylaws amendment. Unlike the previous speaker, I feel like, that the New Day Pacifica bylaws, amendment would be a step in the right direction. Are they perfect? No. Are they better? Yes. And there's been a lot of misinformation out there about what the New Day Pacifica bylaws are wanting to accomplish. Long story short, there's a lot of really passionate people who are very focused on saving the foundation and trying to make it better and more functional. And I'll just leave it at that. I don't have anything further to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Lyndon.
Yes, Chair. I don't know if y'all have all been informed, but the loan that we have, the $3.1 million loan with FJC that came due April 2nd, has been extended for 18 months.
Hmm.
Now, we only paid in 3 years. We only paid, I think, $100,000 down on that. So we are fortunate. It used to be at prime plus, I think, 3.5%. And when we took it out, prime rate was 5%. So that meant we were paying 8.5%, which is kind of junk bond area. And we still have that prime plus 3.5%. But we're lucky that the prime, you know, rates are really low right now. As anybody who has any savings or is looking for, you know, refinancing their house, they know that. We have made, I proposed an idea back in October and, about issuing a bond. And it's a one thing that it seems like there is some fairly good agreement on. Dwayne and I both agree that it's a possibility, and, some other people on the finance committee and the strategic planning committee, believe it has some possibilities. So, on the strategic planning committee, we've actually assigned people to do, or people have taken on the mantle of doing some of this work. And Chris Corey out of the Bay Area is looking into this bond offering. It would be a private placement bond offering, which would, we would offer to Pacifica members. And if we have 40 or 50,000 members, you know, we could raise $4 or $5 million without, you know, people having to, you know, give a lot or invest a lot of money, and it probably, you know, get a return of about 4% or something. And, you know, hopefully the people would take their yearly return and return it to their local station as their pledge. And I have taken on, had another idea, and I'm taking this on, and it's it raises money that involves the Pacifica Archives. And it's a pretty wild idea. It's about non-fungible tokens or NFTs. I don't know how many of y'all have heard about them in the news lately, but it's has to do with cryptocurrencies and blockchain. And it seems pretty crazy, but there people are spending a lot of money just to own like a URL or of something. And so we are in the process of trying to understand it more. And if a market comes up where we could offer some of our archives, but we still keep the copyright, we can still make copies and sell the copies, you know, but somebody else would be able to say that they own it in the blockchain. And we have some really amazing stuff like, George Carlin with, up at WBAI with the seven words you can't say on TV, or on radio. And we have, you know, the, some tapes about the Patty Hearst, Symbionese Liberation Army, that stuff. And I ran across something the other day. It was the Manson family jam. And when the trial was going on for the murders that the Manson family, committed, that we had some jam that the people were putting on out at the Spawn Ranch. So, you know, so we're trying to get prepared to see if a market opens up with these cryptocurrencies, some of these auctions that seem to be so hot right now. And hopefully, you know, we can get lucky and somebody will give us $5 million for something. That's the plan. I think that's about it.
Madam Chair, this is Sandra. I have one other thing I forgot to mention.
I won't forget it. Linda.
Go ahead.
How many total members out of the all five stations do we have?
Yes, that was total from all the stations, yes.
No, I'm saying how many, I think I heard you say it.
Oh, I said it's 40 or 50,000, somewhere in there. I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you. Okay, go ahead, Sandra.
Yes, I do serve on the audit committee, and the latest report from audit is that the 2019 audit is expected to be completed by April the 30th, and the 2020 audit is expected to be completed by June the 30th, I believe. Part of that was tied into Lyndon mentioned earlier about getting the extension on the FJC loan. They wanted to see our numbers. They wanted to know if our audits were complete. And the people from NIDA are working diligently. They've got an entire team working on nothing but completing these audits in a timely fashion. And so that's a good thing. It's also very beneficial to the foundation as a whole because audit was the main reason why we don't have CPB funding. And so once these audits are completed, then we can reapply to CPB and get some of that money that is absolutely needed to keep the foundation alive. So audits are ongoing, and we look forward to sharing that information with everyone as soon as they're completed. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Dwayne. Dwayne. Okay, hold on for a second. Community Advisory Board. PK. Committee members?
Yeah.
Committees?
Yeah, hold on. Again.
Let me just say this. You guys have 5 minutes.
Can we ask questions about the PNB report?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you can. Yes, I forgot that. Thank you. I'm sorry. Were there any questions for the PNB directors? Bill, do you have a question? Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. And Ted has his hand up too.
Okay.
Well, first, thanks for the information. I do hope the audits get done soon, but I tell you, that would be record time. I don't see how I can get one done 2 months after the one before. It just, it's a lot of work and it takes a lot of data that they have to get from the stations, and it usually takes a lot longer, but I'll be optimistic. I hope it's right. But regarding CPB funds, it's going to take more than getting the audits done. We were kicked out of CPB. They basically told us that we would have to reapply, and we have other reasons why we don't qualify now besides the audits. And one of them is lack of enough listeners. All of our stations have dropped in listenership. Some of you may recall KPFK was the first station to be removed from CPB funding. That was before we all lost it. All the stations lost it because of the audits. And it's because their listenership had dropped below some fraction of the total population in the area. So you have to look at the other things that are required to get back into CPB, and it's probably would be at least a year away and maybe more. I know people want to give all this so-called good news, but, and I'm not blaming you, Sandra, but I think some people are not telling you the whole story. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Oh yeah, Ted, go ahead.
I just want to say that this was supposed to be the time to hear reports from our representatives to the Pacifica National Board. I would hope that in the future the chair will silence members of the PNB if they use this time for electioneering on the bylaws. That is totally inappropriate and not a part of a PNB report. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Sandy for the stack.
Teresa for the stack.
Sandy and Teresa, go ahead. Sandy.
Thank you. Just very quickly, to Bill's point about not being optimistic about getting audits done quickly, NEDA claims, and rightly so, that with the stability of doing our books carrying over, they can go much faster because they're familiar with Pacifica and the finances and on a very intimate basis at that. So they are making good progress and should be able to accomplish these tasks much faster. Nothing like a little accounting automation being centralized. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you very much for the report. We did pass the budget out of Finance Committee for Archives yesterday, and I did want to call to David's attention that the KPFK people submit their have equipment set up so that everything on KPFK 24/7 is immediately archived. But the other four station, that doesn't happen.
Incorrect.
And the head of the archive said, well, I'm assuming that Otis McClay is doing that. I hope that you can help us because I'm assuming that the programming that we have on KPFT is quality enough that it's worthy to be archived.
Teresa, we are recorded 24 hours a day on Otis's server.
Mm-hmm. Is any of that cataloged by keywords so it can be retrieved?
Yes. Depending on what kind of program it is, it has a legal limit in which it can stay on the archive. So,
for example, in 2002, I was listening to KPFT and there was the most amazing program about what was happening in Tulia, Texas. And I'm wondering, will anybody ever be able to retrieve it?
It's going to depend on the rules. There may be a file of it somewhere, but it may not be publicly available on the archive anymore. Mm-hmm. So for particular programs like that, you would have to reach out to Otis. But I do know that every show is being archived, and it is staying up on the archive for the time allotted that we are allowed to have them up. Music shows can stay up for a certain amount of time. Public affairs has a different time frame.
That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the fact that we have Patty Hearst on tape. We have Coltrane on tape. And people can buy that and we can offer it as premiums. Things that happened 50 years ago on our airwaves. If Wally James interviews somebody tomorrow and that person runs for president in 5 years or 10 years, would we be able to retrieve those archives somewhere?
For today, yes, everything that we're recording is getting saved onto a server. For 50 years ago, I couldn't tell you. But I do know that every single thing that we are doing is being recorded.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Anybody else?
Nancy. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I was just going to answer Teresa's question. Everything in its original aired format is in Otis's hands, even long, long, long time ago. Okay? Mm-hmm. Nothing gets lost. That's all.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you. We're moving on. Community Advisory Board.
Madam Chair, this is Dwayne Lark.
All right, so let me back up to Dwayne Lark.
I didn't want to interrupt while everybody was doing their thing, but I've heard the other reports, and I do have to chime in a bit on the shade and the gloom that one of the members was speaking about, although it wasn't a question. It was a very negative statement. The fact of the matter is that because so much hard work has been done, and I take no credit for it, although I did assist as the vice chair last year with some of the hard work that was needed in order to get us caught up from 2017, 18, 19, now 20. It's easier. As any accountant or CPA or auditor know that if you take 2 or 3 years to get things that are out of order in order and you have reporting entities actually doing reporting in a timely manner, it's much easier to gather information and compile it. So this is why there is a expectation. And even if the expectation doesn't come to fruition, we're still months ahead with making sure we're going to have the said audit in place than we have in the last 5 or 6 years. So I think there's reason to be positive for a change. I think there's reason to be very optimistic for a change. So the shade that was put on the process and the report that was given, I think is totally uncalled for and certainly is not accurate. Moreover, though, I think it's important for all of us to know that while CPB did give us many sites, if you listen to the speaker who was putting the shade on the CPB possibilities, what the speaker doesn't ever say, and I want to say, is that we've been getting money from CPB all along. They've been small grants. They've been assistance for being able to play music on the radio. So CPB has not totally locked us out, even with our dark days. And because we will still find ourselves more eligible, that is a proper term, that no one is saying we're going to be restored this year or next year. But because of the hard work of Lydia Brazone, which some folk, including some of the leadership on the national board right now, didn't want her, who has worked for 18 to 19 months for free, which is at a cost that could have been in excess of $200,000 for this foundation. She's given that time and benefits and received absolute. I don't even think she's been reimbursed for the out-of-pocket expenses that she incurred in the last year and a half, almost now 2 years. So I think the report has to be accurate. It has to be upfront so that people are listening to this and those who will listen to this know what the truth is.
Dwayne, 1 second. Okay. Somebody needs to mute their microphone because I hear you laughing. Thank you. Go ahead, Dwayne.
I think it's a good reason to laugh, because when someone knows the truth and can report it to you in the midst of shade being placed on, and I want to underscore the fact that Lydia Brazon, who has been the IED before, and as I said, a lot of politics for me and Mr. Lawrence Reyes to get her in more than a year ago, has done such a great job that we are in position, working with the officers, working with NETA, working with even Grace Aarons. I give her credit for some of the work that she did, although we don't agree on a lot. But I just want to make it clear on this record that we're in position to do well, and it's because of the hard work of people. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You finished, Dwayne? I hear somebody else. Okay, I'm moving on to the Community Advisory Board. This is my third time saying this. Community Advisory Board, 5 minutes.
Come on in.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing? Am I on?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, sorry. Somebody knocked at the door. I just wanted to give a little bit of information. One of the things that the KPFG Community Advisory Board reports to it is helping to make sure that all of our T's are crossed and I's are dotted. It's not just about auditing. It is not just about listenership. It is also, well, it is about listenership, but it's about the diversity and inclusiveness of a radio station that seeks to educate and to build understanding between communities. And that's the mission of the, of Pacifica, actually. It's education. It is not about power and who's in charge, because it belongs to the community or the people who make up the membership and the programming of the Pacifica station. So I just want to make it clear that's not just one thing. Right now, the Community Advisory Board this year realizes that 2020 did not allow us to be able to do a town hall meeting at the time. Town hall meetings and really using Zoom came towards the summer, and people were not always great at doing it and getting together. We are a whole lot better than we have been, and I just want to echo to supporting Nisi and Paula about what a Zoom call encompasses, and that where we aren't equal is our ability to utilize these social media platforms. That said, one of the platforms that we like to create is a program for the KPFT Community Advisory Board. And we've talked about it, being an update of community activities and information supporting KPFT, an ongoing process of building outreach and support for KPFT's growth and sustainability. And I believe that if every week it would highlight a particular community initiative or upcoming event that benefits KPFT and the KPFT can be a part of, and bringing KPFT to the communities, because just like Kwanzaa, KPFT is an integral part of Kwanzaa every year. And yet every year we have difficulty with getting it done and a lot of last minute things. So I think we need to do more planning. The same thing with the MLK parade. You know, we've participated in the car parade. Those are all things that we need to highlight. And I think that the Community Advisory Board is in a position to do that. We've been increasing membership and people who are committed to it in this, the meeting before last and in, this one. We want to do, regular PSAs for the Community Advisory Board so that people know that that's the place that they can be given voice and to have a say in what gets said to the LSB and to the general manager and working on things together. Increase our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter platforms. But one of the things that I talked to David about, and that is making the KPFT Community Advisory Board website an integral part of the KPFT website. And we'll have to iron out those details. But I put in a call to have a meeting with him. One of the things about the Community Advisory Board is the word community. We use COM for communications and unity as a way to say that's what we should be about. Anything that divides us should be suspect. Registration, interested in telling about your contributions to the community. The Community Advisory Board and a town hall meeting would be a way of a collaboration between the LSB and the Community Advisory Board to put together a place where people can come and ask the questions and get responses to. Sometimes I feel like, you know, the 30 minutes that we have for public comment doesn't really support who we are and what we do, especially when we're not being listened to or not follow up on it or things like that. It's not just a place to make your comments of complaint. It's also a place to share your things of concern and cooperation. We would update news and information about what's happening in the communities as part of the Community Advisory Board's presence on the website, and to create a monthly newsletter with informative articles and voices of the different communities that Houston has. And like in the beginning of my tenure as an LSB, we had gotten a lot of communities to want to do a little 30-minute thing about what's happening in their particular organization or group. And we know that, you know, we lost Dr. Kamau as a interim general manager. And in the process, those people weren't even informed that they weren't going to be able to be on the show. It was just taken off. So I think that the Community Advisory Board can serve as a mediation presence and to look at things more from the perspective of the people who are most affected by the choices that we make. So that's my presentation for tonight, my report.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions?
Madam Chair, you have Teresa Allentine that's been up for a while.
Teresa.
I'm sorry.
Huh? You muted yourself.
I'm sorry. I raised my hand when I spoke before and it just wasn't taken down. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. Sandy, finance.
Thank you. We met on the 6th of this month, and the meeting was mostly aimed at providing education about our budget. In other words, what the line items on the budget mean, the various components. Members submitted questions in advance. Those questions were amply answered by David Bay and Markeisha Van Zandt, after which followed a good Q&A. I should add that in terms of permanent officers, by unanimous consent, I was given the honor of being chair of that committee. I thank all the committee members for that. Teresa Allen and Adriana Casanave possibly will run for secretary. Mr. Lark is doing some research on Teresa's standing in that she's a fiduciary, our treasurer, and holding a position of officer on that committee at the same time. So that was delayed. We couldn't come to consensus on minutes. We'll do that next month, largely because not enough advance notice was given. Markeisha Van Zandt, our business manager, offered a very concise financial report, which indicates we have about 2 months of spending reserve to keep the station on the air. That's an approximation, not exact. Of course, we'll be in another fund drive in May, and our coffers hopefully will be padded and we can get carried along until the changes that David Bay talked about during his report can be called. Motions and other particulars about the meeting will be offered in supplemental form. When we get our minutes approved, they'll become part of this report.
Somebody's not muted.
Looking forward to our next meeting. Looking forward to our next meeting in the month of May. We're hoping that our management team, actually they have already committed to giving the first pass budget for 2022 to our committee, and that's when the real work will begin, examining that budget, having a very collaborative discussion with management, and coming to an agreement as to what that budget should look like. So that process will really begin in earnest in May. So thank you, Madam Chair. I yield.
Okay. Everybody sends their reports to me, but did you send it to the body?
I have not. I'll be happy to do that.
Send it to the body. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you.
Tom. Oh, okay. All right. The next report is building and properties. Now, I know that we have had this committee because whatever is, who is the chair of this committee? Okay, so nobody knows. And so for this moment.
Bill,
and I need to ask you a question. How do we get the chair pro tem? I can appoint that person or we got to vote on it?
You can appoint a convener for a committee.
Yeah, convener. I'm sorry. Yeah,
they just call the meeting and notify people. But the committee hasn't been active in about.
Yeah. Okay.
Over 2 years. We have no chair or convener or anybody.
Got it. So as of today,
Nancy on the stack, Adriana.
Nancy and Adriana. Nancy first.
Yeah. The last person who was trying to organize the building committee was Robert Gardner.
Okay. Adriana.
I was saying the same. I'm sorry. That's okay.
Oh, that's okay.